Okay. So say your name and when you were born and who we're talking about.
Oh, my name is Cheryl Brill. I was born February 15th, 1946. And we're talking about my brother, David Brill.
Okay. Do you remember when David was born?
1955.
Uh-huh. How old were you?
9.
What do you remember?
That I had a new doll to play with. And I remember that my mother didn't think I could babysit and called my uncle to take care of us. And he sat in a chair and I did everything.
Uh-huh.
And that's how it was. Poor David and Michael had two mothers, Mom and me.
When you think about David now, what do you like to remember about him?
He was brilliant. And he was funny. And he loved us. But he was kind of sad. Oh, and he played the piano. You remember?
I do remember.
Made you want to play the piano. For a little while, we had his piano in our house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that was nice, but we couldn't keep it.
So when did you find out that David was gay?
Well, it was September 1972. I was 8 months pregnant with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Yom Kippur, and I came to Mom's house to break the fast.
Mm-hmm.
And your dad and I walked in. Mom, where are you? She was in the kitchen, drinking wine, washing the dishes, and crying. All three things were odd. And when I asked her what was wrong, she took another drink, took a deep breath, and told me that David tried to kill himself.
Wow.
And he was in the hospital, and he was gay. It was a very difficult time. They didn't tell me anything. They were afraid to tell me because I was pregnant. You know, those days they thought pregnant women were going to break.
Mm-hmm.
But they got David a psychiatrist, and we all had therapy. But Mom and Dad were really great about the whole thing. They were upset, of course, mostly because he tried to kill himself. And being gay was nothing anybody ever talked about then.
Mm-hmm.
It was 1972. And David was, what, 16? 15? He was just a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So it must have been terribly difficult for him. But this psychiatrist was very connected in Boston's gay community, and he knew people were setting up this newspaper, and David wrote beautifully. Probably where you got your writing talent. Anyway, and that next year, the Gay Community News was founded, and David was their liaison with the Boston Police Department. Until he died.
At 17?
Yep.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, I was talking to my cousin Barry yesterday, because
mm-hmm.
I was trying to remember all this stuff, and he had no clue. Nobody talked those mm-hmm. days. But he was going to BU at the time, and he walked into a hallway, and there was a sign, David P. Brill speaking on something to do mm-hmm. with gay relations. So, in very short order, he became well-known.
Mm-hmm. What was high school like for him?
Must have been awful.
Mm-hmm.
I know up until eighth grade, he went to the yeshiva.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard for both boys.
Cause
they weren't sports. You know, they were different,
mm-hmm.
both of them. And David was so smart, and school was too easy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they were bullied.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in my own bubble.
Right.
Not paying attention to anything in the world. So I really can't tell you what, but I know it wasn't easy.
Mm-hmm.
I know there were days he came home and he looked disheveled and it wasn't easy. But those last few years for him, he was somebody important. He was Kevin White, the mayor of Boston, was very into equal rights and supporting the gay community as part of the city, and appointed a guy, Robin McCormick, to be the liaison to the gay community from the mayor's office. And Robin and David were friends. And after David died, Robin and the gay community set up a memorial service at a church in Boston, and Mayor White sent a limo to the house for us. I mean, I had no idea. When we went to the funeral, I couldn't believe how many people were there. They had to have like 5 police officers because the funeral procession was so long. And the house was full of people for an entire week. I mean, people everywhere. And it was interesting, the conversations. Nobody seemed to care. It was an open thing, and these were very closed, conservative people.
What do you mean? Nobody seemed to care?
That David was gay.
Uh-huh.
It was interesting.
How did your parents feel about the activism?
I think they were proud of him.
My
mother was always active,
politically,
and so was my father. I think that's probably where he got it. But he was investigating, you know, crimes against gay people. And he had told them, if I ever turn up dead and it looks like suicide, it's not.
Wow.
But everybody thought it was.
Was he getting threats?
I guess. When you deal with dangerous people. So the night he died, you probably don't remember, because you and Jess were downstairs when the phone rang and Mom called me. And I got, what was her name? Brenda.
Yeah.
It wasn't Brenda, it was the other end of the street. Bingham.
Was it Bonnie?
Bonnie.
Yeah.
Came over. And I called your aunt because your father had my car because his car was broken down. And I asked, honey, if I could borrow her car, and she insisted on driving me. That was ugly.
Did you go to the hospital?
I went to the hospital.
Okay.
Met my mother there.
Yeah.
My father. Can you imagine? She found him. And we went home and we were like in shock, and everybody came over. And the next morning, first people came to the door were 3 guys in suits. We're from the DA's office, we want to go through David's stuff. And my mother said, go away and come back with a search warrant, which I thought was brilliant.
Yeah.
And then, shortly thereafter, my Aunt Mona from Florida walked in the door. How she got there that fast, I will never know. It was a strange time, because we had to wait. Usually a Jewish funeral is like the next day.
Right.
But we had to wait for an autopsy. And
because it was a suicide?
Unattended death.
Unattended death.
But you have to know, this wasn't private. This was front page news in the Boston newspapers. This was Channel 7, 6 o'clock news stuff. So there was nothing private going on here. And
what were the circumstances exactly? I mean, he'd taken cyanide.
They couldn't explain how he got it in him. Nobody I mean, it wasn't like now they do crime scene and they seal the place off. So nobody did any of that. But I did find a bottle of cyanide in the basement a couple of weeks later. But how it would get upstairs, because he was on the third floor, I don't know. And there was no cyanide. Well, how do I know? There might have been drips around the house. They didn't have pets, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did have a pet. We had a dog. They had a dog.
Mm-hmm.
We had, named Ginger.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, it was just very bizarre the whole week. And your grandmother kept trying to get me to come home to take care of you. And I said, Rose, I have to be here.
Mm-hmm.
She was kind of angry with me. And an afterthought, I wish I had had you with me. Not Jessica, because she was like, what, three?
Probably five. I think I was seven.
Yeah, you were babies. I always wanted to ask you. I apologize for just disappearing for a while. Not physically, because
mm-hmm.
I was physically there, but I don't think I was there emotionally for you for a long time. This whole thing, like, blew up my world.
That was what, like
1979. And right after that happened was the Iranians took the hostages
mm-hmm.
at the embassy. It was in November that year.
What month did he die?
November.
Okay.
Just bizarre, the
mm-hmm.
whole thing. And then these reporters from the Globe wanted to do a Sunday magazine story about David and the murder case he was investigating and all this stuff. And that was coming out in May of 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so nervous to see it because they wouldn't show it to us.
Mm-hmm. What murder case was he investigating?
Was some gay man who was killed and left under the Lowell Connector.
Mm-hmm.
Up here. That's why every time I see the sign Lowell Connector, I get kind of freaky. But I'll find it. Barry said he has a copy of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go to his house to take care of him, I'll get it.
Okay.
Because I had a copy, but I had everything pitched
mm-hmm.
a couple of months ago. And I gave my copy to David and to Michael.
Mm-hmm.
It was a strange and interesting time.
But why were they doing a profile on the case he was investigating?
Because I told you, David's death
mm-hmm.
was front page news.
Yeah.
So they were digging into what he was digging into. These were investigative reporters. And they thought they saw a story there.
So Grandma and Grandpa actually hired a private investigator, didn't they?
No, it was a police detective who
okay.
did the detecting
mm-hmm.
and found the place in Chelsea where the stuff was purchased.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they showed the guy a picture of David and the guy said it was him.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
What do you think?
I don't know at all. I don't know. Daddy thinks it was suicide. Mom never believed that. Everybody deals with it in a different way. Michael had the hardest time
mm-hmm.
because he was still a kid. And was he in college? He was in college then. It was very hard for him
mm-hmm.
and traumatic. But he went away to Israel, I think that summer of 1980. And when he came, this is interesting, when he came home, we couldn't make a direct phone call from Winthrop to Marblehead because it cost them.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't cost me to call them, so we had a signal.
Mm-hmm.
The phone would ring once, and I'd call back. So the phone rang once, I knew Michael was home, and we had a dial phone.
I remember
and
that.
And I dialed the number, and there was this funny sound in the phone, like dialing. Hello, hello, hello. What's this? I hung up and I dialed the phone again and it's the same funny noise. And I said, Michael, is that you? And a man's voice said, no, this is Steve. I'm sorry to tell you, this is a wiretap gone bad. Click.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm a 35-year-old housewife with little kids, and my phone is tapped. I couldn't believe that. So I called Michael back, and I told him, and he couldn't believe it either. So I, like, forgot about it. And about 2 weeks later, I get a call from Bell Telephone, because that's what it was then. And the woman says, I said, why are you calling me? And she said, well, this is a new number. We always call to check. I said, this isn't a new number. We've had this number for 12 years. She goes away. She comes back. She said, well, you had an interruption of your service. No. She goes away. She comes back. Sorry. Hung up. And I had a 2-week credit on my next bill.
So what do you make of all of this?
I have no idea. It couldn't have been a legal wiretap.
Well, yeah, but there's a wiretap. There's the cops at the house the day after he died wanting to search his stuff. Like, what's that all about?
Well, if you understand that he was so involved with police matters and crimes against the gay community, and he was investigating some very bad people, it was explained to me that the person he was investigating was very rich man who was a pedophile, and these guys bought young men. And evidently the guy who was killed, it was all involved with that. So I never got it totally straight. I probably did then, but I can't remember now. It's all foggy.
Yeah.
But it was very odd and not in my life experience. But the people I met who came to the funeral and who came to the memorial service in Boston, and then one of the people in the gay community who was very wealthy had a little soiree reception in his home to raise money for what, I don't know. But all these wonderful, brilliant people were there. Was interesting. But then it all kind of, everybody went their own way. But some of the people he worked with had no idea he was so young. Because when he started working there, he was like 16. He died at 25. So from 73 to 25, say 8 years, that's about right.
Yeah.
And they started thinking about it and they thought, oh my gosh. And the editor of the newspaper said to me that David was a horror, wouldn't let anyone change one word of anything he wrote. He said, it's perfect, leave it alone. I thought you'd appreciate that.
Did you and David ever have a conversation about what he was doing?
No. No. We didn't. I lived in a different world. You have to remember, this was the 70s. It isn't like now where people talk about this stuff. Then it just was. And there were we had two choices, accept it and move on or not. And so there was only one choice. And I thought my parents were very brave and supportive. And 'cause he lived at home.
Right.
And he, to make money, he drove a cab. Because I don't think the gay community was paid much.
Can't imagine it did, no.
No, it was a small newspaper. But, and he became good friends with Barney Frank. And we all, and Barney came over to us at the funeral. Because if David had lived, he would have gone to Washington with Barney.
Wow.
Would have been nice for him. But that didn't happen.
Right.
It was a very confusing time for me. And then there was the added distraction of my sister, who was in her Jews for Jesus born again phase, and sat at the table and said to my parents, this is God's way of punishing David for being gay.
Wow.
Yeah. I knew she wasn't in her right mind or I would have strangled her, but...
How did they react to that?
They were live slaves. But they didn't do anything bad. I mean, they knew she wasn't in her right mind, too. It was just very confusing, really. I never could figure out what the heck was happening, and I got paranoid because of all the issues around crime and these bad people. And then the phone was tapped, and then so I would look underneath my car to make sure there was no bomb, not that I'd know what it looked like, but before I started the car every day. It was a very difficult time. And everybody does it different, but Mom and I found a group called the Compassionate Friends. And their parents and siblings are people, children who've died. And they saved us. Because when you sit in a room and you talk to people who've been through unspeakable things, and they're sitting there and they're whole functioning human beings, you know you can do it.
Yeah.
Daddy didn't help him. He didn't go after the first time. But after that, I became a firm believer in groups.
How were things different after he died? I mean, after the immediate aftermath, when you started kind of picking up and going on with things?
It was just a big empty space. The weirdest thing happened a few months later. It was like Passover or something, and I came into my mother's house and I walked up the stairs, and my cousin Andrew walked down from upstairs. Andrew, just like David, freaked me out so bad I ran out the door and walked around the block three times before I came back in the house.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I didn't expect that. It was like a ghost walking down the stairs. But everything was different. And, but like I said, Michael suffered the most. He's had a very hard time, and David's death was, I think, that kicked him over the edge.
Yeah.
I know that one day I was driving the car, and you and Jess were in the back seat, and you said to me, "Mom, how long does it take to die from cyanide? Do you remember?"
I kind of do.
Because I pulled over to the side of the road. Because you surprised me. I didn't know you were even thinking about it.
I was so confused. I don't remember much. I remember that. I was so confused.
Yeah, to be. Because
you know,
nobody talked to you about it.
Like, he died, and old people died, and he was younger than you, so there was that. And then he killed himself, and that was like a whole other thing to kind of wrap your head around. Like, I didn't know that was a thing that happened, right?
Well, you were seven, and you were mad at me because I didn't take you to the science museum. Your brownie troop was going? Or was it Jessica that was mad? One of you was mad at me. But it was a very confusing time. Like I said, I wish that I had been a little different and included you a little more. I don't know if it would have helped your confusion at all, because there were just too many people, too much going on. I think my mother and I didn't sleep for a week. I mean, 3 o'clock in the morning, we were up vacuuming.
Wow.
Yeah. Everybody in the house is sleeping, and we're vacuuming. And I had no idea what was going to happen. I kept thinking, I'll go to my mother's house, I'll help, I'll cook. I couldn't even get myself dressed in the morning. And then I thought, well, we'll go to the funeral. Who will ride with who and who will drive? And when the limo showed up, I was totally floored. I mean, this wasn't my experience. I hadn't done this before.
Right.
So it was difficult, but I apologize for not being more open with you.
Are there other things you regret?
In my past?
About the whole situation.
About the whole situation? I regret not, not talking to my brother more.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that day, that was a Thursday, because I always cleaned the house on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was dusting all the photographs, and I noticed I didn't have a picture of David.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, I should call him. And I often wondered if I'd picked up the phone.
Wow.
Would I stop him?
Wow.
Yeah, wow. But I often get weird when I'm playing loud music and cleaning the house. But I regret that I didn't pick up the phone. And I regret that I wasn't curious enough about things that were happening to ask more questions. Just as you're going through life, even of my grandparents. Yeah, I'm sitting here in the hospital talking to my cousin Barry, and he's telling me things about my grandparents that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I had asked questions, and I wished I had asked Vera questions. So ask questions.
Yeah.
Find out all you can. I mean, your grandmother was a great woman.
Yeah, I remember when she came to Bennington for graduation, and there was the thesis reading.
Yeah.
And there was a guy named Jason Little who read his thesis about calling a gay man's sex hotline. And it was really funny and really kind of...
I thought it was poignant and
yeah,
sweet.
And Dick was horrified.
Of course.
And Grandma just loved him.
Yeah.
Just loved him. Had her picture taken with him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think it was the David connection.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was the David connection. But it softened them.
Yeah.
But they were always politically active and
mm-hmm.
socially out there.
Yeah.
She went door-to-door petitioning for all-day kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a town meeting member. And here she was, a woman who owned her own business. And she wanted to buy a car, and the car dealer told her she needed a man to sign for her.
Wow.
Yeah. So the world has turned. And there were a lot of things she didn't tell me. Her life was really hard when she came from Ohio
mm-hmm.
to resettle here in Winthrop when she left my father. There were things I didn't know. I can't remember who told me that the reason we lived in the basement in my grandmother's house, there was the basement, the first floor was where Mona and Alan Viv lived,
mm-hmm.
and on the second floor, Grandma, Grandpa, I think at the time, my Uncle Alan, my Aunt Darlene, and Ronnie
mm-hmm.
was still there. I think Rose and Louis lived across the street, and Ian and Mac lived around the corner. You know, it was very, like, almost a family compound. But we could have lived upstairs. There was plenty of room. But they put us in the basement. I thought it was great. Because it was, like, cozy. And I think it was my cousin who told me that she put us down there because my grandmother was ashamed that her daughter was divorced with two children.
Wow.
But she wasn't going to turn us out, so
mm-hmm.
at least we had a place to live. Grandmother was also funny. When my uncle married a Catholic woman, she sat shiva for him, but she went to the wedding and sat in the back row, didn't tell anybody she was there.
Wow.
Odd.
Were they alive when David died?
No. My grandmother died when I was 9, I
mm.
think. And my grandfather was still alive. You know, I think he died before then. I know he was alive when I got married, but I don't think he was alive when Daddy's parents, were they alive? Yes. Yes, they were. My father's parents were still alive.
Wow.
Interesting.
Do you think David had a legacy that he left?
I think he left his mark on the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he did. Those people loved him.
Mm-hmm.
and respected him, and I was overwhelmed by their feelings. This was right before the AIDS epidemic, and I'm sure, and a lot of them aren't alive anymore. And I looked up Robin McCormick, and he died in 2012.
Yeah.
And of course, Kevin White died just around the same time. Kevin White was a great man. He was very forward thinking to have done something like that.
I remember David being kind of dark.
He was dark.
I remember being kind of afraid of him.
He was dark. He brooded.
Mm-hmm.
He was brooding. But he was fun. I remember when he was a little kid, he did something really bad, and my mother got really furious with him. And she had a broom in her hand, and she was going to, like, and he stood there, and he looked her in the eye, and he said, "Go ahead, hit me." He said, "I'll feel pain now, but later you'll feel remorse."
Wow.
I ran in the closet and shut the door. I couldn't. Can you imagine? He was like 9. "Later, you'll feel remorse." She put the broom down, turned around, walked away. Then, what else did he do? He wrote a letter to her. I had a copy of it somewhere, the response he got, because they had a news broadcast about a plane crash, and we were waiting for somebody to come home, and they were unclear about what airline it was or whatever, and everybody got all upset, and he thought that that was bad reporting. They should have been more clear.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrote him back and apologized.
Wow.
He was a funny kid. He was a very funny kid. But what do you do with a kid who's so brilliant?
Right.
You have to worry. But he found his niche, I think. I'm just sorry he wasn't happy. You know?
Yeah.
What is happy? Are you happy?
I am.
I think you are. I think I am mostly too.
Okay. Well. Okay, so this is an article, short article. Do you know what website this is from?
From
Everything Explained Today.
Everything Explained Today.
Okay. David P. Brill Explained. David P. Brill, 1955 to 1979, was a Boston-based gay rights activist and investigative journalist. Brill studied political science at the University of Massachusetts, Boston. He was one of the nation's first investigative journalists for the gay press, and for more than 6 years served as chief investigative reporter and political commentator for the weekly Gay Community News, chronicling issues relevant to the lives of gay people. He was also a correspondent for Boston Magazine and the California-based gay interest magazine, The Advocate. He sought to make city and state government, the media, and especially the police, more responsive to the needs of gay men and lesbian. Through his special concern with the subject of violence, though his special concern was the subject of violence against gays, he initially brought this issue to the eye of law enforcement officials and the public. He was also a member of the Homophile Union of Boston and Gay Legislation, and lobbied for a better understanding of gay people and laws to protect their civil rights. In his roles as political writer and gay rights advocate, Brill came to know well Boston Police Lieutenant William J. Bratton, who credited Brill for liberalizing police attitudes towards gays by opening up a relationship with the police. Prior to writing a story, he'd always come to us for our side. There was a trust established between David and the command staff here at headquarters. Bratton, who went on to be superintendent-in-chief of the Boston Police Department, commissioner of the New York City Police Department, and chief of police of the Los Angeles Police Department, mentioned Brill in his 1998 book, The Turnaround: How America's Top Cop Reversed the Crime Epidemic. Do you think David died because he was gay?
No. If it was suicide, he died because he was lonely. If it was something else, he died because he was pursuing a story as an investigative reporter.
Yeah.
who just happened to be gay.
Yeah.
I think he would have pursued justice in any event.
It's okay, it's just telling us we have 10 minutes left.
Okay. Because that's the kind of person he was. I think being gay was important to him. He came out so young.
Yeah.
That was very rare back then. Usually people didn't come out till they were older or never.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the people that I spoke to, like this Barbara Rabinowitz,
mm-hmm.
and Neil Miller.
Yeah.
When they saw his obituary and he was 24, I said, my God, when he started, he was 16. They didn't know he was that young.
Wow.
Yeah. It's hard to believe that you do all that and you're just 24.
Right.
He flamed out early.
Like it said, he was studying political science. Did he even have time to finish the degree?
No, he didn't finish. He was doing it part-time because mm-hmm. he was trying to work and do this, and
mm-hmm.
so he was juggling a lot of balls.
Yeah. What do you think he'd think about the world today?
I think he'd be astounded that things have come as far as they have. I would hope that if he was still alive, he would have found someone, and
mm-hmm.
he would have been on the forefront of the gay marriage. Of course, he would have worked with Bonnie
mm-hmm.
on that. I just hope that he would have grown up well.
Yeah.
What else can you hope for? Gay, straight, whatever. You
right.
want to grow up well and be useful. He was useful in his short little life.
Yeah.
Too short. I don't think of him as often as I used to. There's too many other things. Like, and I lost my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, my dad. Now they're all together. Go visit. But this conversation has made me revisit a lot of stuff that I hadn't thought about in ages. Maybe I should think about things a little more.
Is there anything I didn't ask you that you wanted me to?
I don't know. That day in the car when you asked how long it took to die was enough.
Mm.
I wish you had gotten to know him better.
Yeah.
Because he would have taught you how to play the piano.
Right.
He would have helped you edit your papers, although you didn't need any help. As he was a fellow traveler in the writing world. And I'm sorry you never got to know him. I'm sorry Jessica never got to know him.
Me too.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, what else can I tell you about that time? I wish I remembered more. I was talking to people recently, I realized that I didn't pay attention to my life a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of floated through, and I didn't pay attention. Should have paid more attention and asked more questions. As it gets down to, like when Jackie got sick and we wanted to know more about our father because he died of heart failure very young. And we could never figure out if hers was hereditary or any of us might have any issues. That's why I told you to go get an echocardiogram.
Mm-hmm.
But he needed to ask more questions. And my grandmother sent me this paper once that one of the Wormleys did that showed that family came to this country from Netherlands pre-revolution. So, and there's a county in Pennsylvania called Wormleysburg.
Right. I know that.
Yeah. But I didn't save the stupid piece of paper. I don't know where it is. I should go on. And so I went on to Ancestry.com, and I looked in military records, and I found Revolutionary War records for 3 or 4 Wormley men. I think only one of them lived. I'm glad one of them lived. And they fought in the Civil War. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
And, but they don't answer your questions, you know, about your past.
Right.
I know that Barry gave me a bracelet that his mother had. She always wore this heavy gold bracelet, and her mother gave it to her, and Jenny's mother gave it to her because her father gave it to her when they came to America.
Wow.
So it's really old. And I'm glad I know the story, because it's mine now, and it'll go to you someday.
Okay.
So I'm telling you, ask questions, ask questions. Is there anything you want to ask that I haven't told you?
Do you see any of him in yourself?
No. I don't. He was a Brill. I don't think so. Maybe the brilliance, of course. But I wish he found joy in his life. Because bad things are going to happen to you if you have some joy somewhere in your life. Then you can manage. But I don't think he had any.
Yeah.
And that's why he was so dark. He never found the joy. He did help me throw a 25th wedding anniversary party for Mom and Dad the year before.
Okay. Guess we're done.
Are we done?